What would I do without it?
The name of this sermon is The Father. Just The Father. For everything in your life and my life depends on the knowledge of God. For this very purpose was Jesus Christ manifested, that he might declare unto us eternal life. And that eternal life was the knowledge of his Father, that we would walk in, that we would receive, that we would completely grasp. That is that eternal life which we are so hungry for and looking for. That is that life that we feel ebbing in and ebbing out, sometimes for weeks not experiencing, not knowing. In the midst of the confusion and the chaos and the darkness and everything that's happening in our lives, God is calling us to a place this morning as he reveals himself, as he reveals himself for you to receive him as your Father. Genesis chapter 1. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth, and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And here we see a description before the first revelation of God. And at this very point, God would have you and I to see this morning exactly who he really, really is, and that he has never changed or never been altered by anything that you and I have done as to his basic yearning and his basic desire and his basic nature. And God would place it right at the beginning of the Bible after a scene that was full of desolation, full of waste. These words speak of the idea that which lies waste when we speak of without form. A desert, a desolation, the idea of emptiness and vanity and nothingness. All was without form, vanity, desolation, and waste. It translated confusion, an empty place. Before we even see God, we see this. Strange. The word void means simply empty. So here we're looking upon a scene that's a waste, desolate, formless, huge, shapeless mass of nothing. Do you feel that way this morning? Do you feel that way this morning? Before God gave the revelation of himself, he gave the revelation of you and I. Because God would appear unto you in such a way as that you and I would not miss his nature. That we would be founded and planted and completely in union with that awareness. And the life that Christ came to give is an experiential awareness of that Father, where you are consumed in the knowledge of God, not of yourself, not of yourself, as to continually walk in the knowledge of what you're doing, what you're not doing, who you are, where you're short, what you're not, what you are, who he is, who he's not, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. But God would only tell us once that these are the way things shall be, and this is the place that you and I will come to in our lives, and then I will declare myself. And then I will declare myself. And darkness was upon the face of the deep. Now the deep speaks of an abyss, and the face of the deep is many faces in the Hebrew, of the abyss. The word speaks of an uproar, agitated greatly. It's related to another word which means everything is in commotion. Like surging waves of the sea thrashing back and forth, roaring continual unrest, and on top of all this, darkness. So God says, this is the way it was. And if you know anything about yourself, that's the way it is. The before the revelation of the Father, before the revelation of God, before God shows you who He is, that you might know forevermore Him, and you might live in that knowledge free, free, free. Darkness, you couldn't even see the scene. Underneath all you hear is the roar and the commotion, and darkness is on top of it. If you looked at it, you'd hear the thrashing of the waves, the commotion, the uproar. Vanity, emptiness, waste, desolation. That's all that there was. That's all that there was. And with this comes the revelation of God unto you this morning. With this comes the revelation of God. With this comes the declaration of Himself. Like God's been stepping back, being what He is within, and knowing it all the time. But man, not knowing that place, not knowing that. So God paints this scene so that He might appear only the more wonderful unto you. And the Bible says, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. The Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And this word means, and this is your Father. And this is the God that you gave your life to. And this is the God that you chose years ago when you were born again. And you came back to Him through Jesus Christ. This is your God. This is your God. The idea of a continual hovering over. A brooding, as a bird hovers over her young and nourishes and gives life, cherishing. In the Syriac, it is the common word for loving, warming, cherishing. In the Hebrew, it is related to the word which means cherishing, but the idea is that of the way a womb treats the fetus. How does the womb treat the fetus? Is the revelation of your Father to you this morning. And that's the thing that God would declare first, foremost, every day, every hour of the day, every minute of the day, though there be many voices, though there be many that declare Him, yet God would continue to declare Himself as the God that moves, hovers, broods, cherishes, loves, yearns, desires intensely for towards you. That's who He is. It's a tender, compassionate love. Justinius talks about the word meaning to be soft, to be moved and affected with a tender love. So God stands behind this scene, and within Himself, veiled to us, there's this affection. And there's this desire. I mean, He wants to move. I mean, He wants to love. I mean, He desires to touch. That's God. First, foremost, that's God. Before anything else, that's who He really is. Over this shapeless waste without form or content was the Father. Moving. Loving intentionally and cherishing. Fluttering. Brooding. And God said, light. And things began to happen. And things began to happen. In Genesis 2, we're going to look at a few examples of the Father and one story, and then we'll close. I want to talk about life as the way it really is in Christ. Genesis 2, verse 8, and the Father planted a garden eastward in Eden, and there He put the man whom He had formed. And out of the ground made the Lord God to grow every tree that is pleasant to the sight and good for food, the tree of life also in the midst of the garden, and the tree of knowledge of good and evil. And a river went out of Eden to water the garden, and from thence it was parted and it became into four heads. Verse 15, and the Lord God took the man and put him into the garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. the word put in verse 15 is not the same word as put in verse 8. In verse 8, God just put him there. In verse 15, the Hebrew means he made him rest. He made him rest there. Another word, it means allowed him to be there. Because of the love and the very nature of himself, his only will, his only purpose, his only movement was to lavish his nature upon man. So he made him rest in Eden. You know what Eden means? Voluptuousness. Voluptuousness. Sound like a hard life. He made us rest in voluptuousness. The word is translated pleasure, delight, pleasant. And the word eastward is from a root word that means to anticipate for the purpose of hastening to meet. So there's God standing back, making man, putting him in this garden, and God's like this, anticipating to hasten to meet him, to move on him, to lavish himself upon him. Voluptuousness. Voluptuousness. And the word river is from a root word that means to sparkle. To sparkle. To be cheerful. And the river went out of Eden into the garden, which means defended. It's used in Isaiah as God defending Jerusalem. Defending Jerusalem. So man, God had provided for man to be totally defended, to live in voluptuousness of his spirit, to see God yearning for him, desiring him, fellowshipping with him, seeing him only, and what was coming into his life? Cheerfulness. Sparkling, sparkling waters. Rivers. Where did the rivers come from? The throne of God, Revelation. That's life in Christ. This is what a true relationship with the Father entails. A true relationship with God is the awareness only of himself. Only of himself. Genesis 3, verse 7. When man chose to step outside of God's way, when man chose to have a relationship with God by a knowledge of good and evil, an approach unto God in the knowledge of good and evil, a perfecting by God in the knowledge of good and evil, where he would now become a judge and a divider, where he would now be able to discern and distinguish, he lost his freedom. He lost his freedom, and he lost the awareness of the Father. He lost the unhindered gaze of God upon his life and the freedom that he felt before God. Verse 7, and the eyes of them both were opened. What were they before? Shut. They were shut to everything but the Father. Everything but voluptuousness. Everything but pleasure. Everything but cheer. Sparkling waters. Life. Abundance. Relationship. And all that they experienced was a burning love of God towards them. They knew they were loved. They knew they were cherished. They knew they were cared for. God continually moved in that way towards them. It was never ending. The first Pharisee was born at that moment. And the Pharisee and the legalist is only the man who lives by the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Even after he becomes born again, he experiences this cheerfulness and this life that God would place him back in Eden to enjoy. But then he goes back to the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. He goes back. And that man does not know his Father. He does not know his Father. God is drawing that man back to place him back. He looks pious. He looks righteous. He does things and works and says the right words, but he doesn't know the Father. Because he judges you and he judges himself. And in that place before God, his eyes were shut under everything but the judgment of the Father that Christ came to bring. This is my judgment that I'll be lifted up. And God will restore you, bring you back, and lavish his love upon you again. This is my judgment. He said to one man, he said, man, who hath made me a judge and a divider over you? He's talking to a Pharisee. He said, I will not deal with you in the realm of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. I will deal with you from union with God. I will walk in that total abandonment and freedom of my God. And that will I declare unto the world. See, God's desire had never changed. It never changed because Adam ate the tree. But to Adam it did. You see, Adam lost the knowledge of God at that moment. Because the knowledge of his sin and the knowledge of his guilt and the knowledge of his shame caused him to hide. Caused him to run and hide from God. And to approach God by making his own covering. And now he had knowledge on his hands. Now he had knowledge on his hands. Guess what? It never led him back to God. It never led him back to that place where he was receiving the life and love of God. He never came back. He hid. But you see, God didn't change. See, in his desire, he still desired to cherish and to love and to reach out to man and to lavish his love and his heart upon man no matter what. So his wisdom made a plan that his love would be satisfied. Not that his law would be executed, but that his love for you would be satisfied. That he could bring you back and love you. But at the same time, judgment and justice would take place. So he formed a plan and he paid the price. That he might love you again. For he did not change. Your sin did not change him. Did it? Ask yourself if you're hiding. Can you walk out this morning behind the trees and walk right up to God and look in his face and believe he really loves you? He really loves you. I mean, you know, you ask people to say, you know, you're going to make the bride? I don't ask people this, but I'm saying people ask themselves sometimes. Are you going to make the bride? And they go, oh, yeah, sure, I believe it. God's going to perfect me. The word of God's true. God's sanctifying me. I'm sanctified in Christ. Day by day, I'm being perfected. He's begun a good work. I mean, he's going to finish the work. He's faithful. He called me. He'll do it. I mean, you know, I'm making myself ready. God's moving. You know, he's going to do me no problems, you know. But you really believe you're going to make the bride. And a lot of us will go, no, I'm scared at the thought. Because I don't think I will be ready in time. I don't know if he really will make me ready in time. But we can't say that. See, but you can say it to him. You can say it to him. And we can say it to one another. Because the Father has placed this ministry in the ministry of consolation, edification, grace, mercy, power, his love manifested through his saints in the end of time to continually build good and bring together and bring back to him. So you can tell the truth to me, and I can tell the truth to you. So he made this plan. He would again brood and hover over and cherish and intensely love man. He would yet reveal himself again and again. You see, he is that way. See, he is that way. He's still intense. So he'll make another plan. He'll try again. He'll speak again. He'll move again. He'll declare again. He'll touch again. He's not going to change. You might walk away from him, and so will I. But he remains the same. He remains the same. Thousands of different ways he'll speak, he'll try, he'll reach out. No, not that way. I'll try again. No. I love you. You don't believe me. I love you. You don't believe me. I love you, you know, constantly. I mean, I really do. You know, you don't believe me. Well, here, you know, here, this, that, you know, moving this man, do this, you know, touch anything, vision, dream, anything. That's proven by Job, which says God withdraws pride from man in his sleep, withdraws his purpose from man in his sleep. God can't deal with it during the daytime. I'll do a miracle in the nighttime. What are we saying? Well, if I'm here and I got all my faculties and I make a decision, I choose, and I'm just like this and I pray, I got to look, I got to check myself over. You're a Pharisee. You're a Pharisee. That's the Pharisee. You come back through the Lamb. And you come back into the gaze of the Father and you feel loved. You feel loved, warmed, cherished. Intensely yearned after, thought of, provided for. That word moved is used in one of the other languages to soothe a troubled child. To soothe a troubled child. The Father, brethren. That's your Father. So man would become exactly like the beginning. And as you look upon this world, you have to admit that all is becoming without form and void again. What's getting set up? The world is getting set up. And darkness is upon the faces of the deep. And that word is translated the seas, which speak of the nations and all peoples. Once again, you're seeing darkness move in. Once again, upon the faces of the deep, there's uproar, confusion, tumult, waste, desolated lives, deserts. Isn't that happening again? And one day, he's going to reveal himself again. Luke. Now in the 15th year of the reign of Tiberius Caesar, Pontius Pilate being governor of Judea, and Herod being tetrarch of Galilee, his brother Philip tetrarch of Iturea, and of the region of Trachonitis, and Lysanias the tetrarch of Abilene, Annas and Caiaphas being the high priests, the word of God came unto John in the wilderness, and he came into all the country about Jordan preaching. What did he preach? The Father has come again. The Father has come again. In a moment when all was without form and void, when men were confused in legalism, Phariseeism, false worship, completely vain, empty, tossed, on the scene came the Father again. Right in the midst of it. Innocently enough, whoosh, he moved. Sean, he's still the same. He's still the same. And all as they saw was Jesus coming. And he was working on that bench. I'll tell you, I know what he must have felt. I'll tell you. I can see him working on that bench. And he hears the word of God come to the Baptist out there. I'll tell you, everything in his being, just that I can declare my Father. Mine hour has come. Thank you, Lord. I tell you, he stepped out of that workshop, walked out of those waters. I tell you, he was glad, glad. His whole life was declaring that God. His whole life, he was consumed with that. And those that know him are exactly the same way. That is the judgment. That's the definition of knowing the Father. Your whole life is to declare him. Declare him. I tell you, he was happy. Into the chaos and the waste and the unrest and the confusion stepped the Father. Moving upon the faces of the deep. All those individual faces that came by him. God moving through Christ for 3.5 years, healing, delivering, loving, words of peace, comfort, life, hope, turning men from their sin, revealing himself, laying down his life, the Father expressing unhindered. That's what was happening in those years. And light was again. And light was again. For a great light hath arisen, the Gospels tell us. A great light arose to those people who sat in darkness. And they saw the Father again. Clear. Bible says that no man cometh unto the Father but by Jesus Christ. And except the Father draw him. Young men, take heed. Except the Father draw him. Except the Father drag him. In the Greek, drag him. Doesn't sound like a willing man running right up there. Hallelujah. I'm going to do it all. Sounds like a man who's been mastered by the living Christ. Mastered by the love of God, seeing the vision of the Father is prostrate before God, his heart affected and warmed. I've told you the story about the woman who lived in the... She was a Catholic woman. She was a woman who was known for her piety and her works. Her life was blameless to all that would see. She was a showcase of model Christianity. She loved God. Day day by day, she went on her way. She gave alms. She was known for it. She spoke words. She was known for it. She was esteemed a holy woman. And there came a, every day for 14 years, she passed by a picture. Every day, she passed by that picture, and she looked. She walked away. And one morning, she passed by that picture. And I tell you that a hand being laid on her, the Father revealed himself. And she saw a picture of Jesus Christ, our Savior, hanging on a cross. She saw a spear going into him, and she fell to the floor. And she said, my God, you suffered for me. You suffered for me. You suffered for me. And she lay there in a puddle of tears. She got up and filled with the love of God. Filled. That's the way to holiness. Let no man say different. That is the way to holiness. Being consumed with the same love the Father had for Christ, God revealing himself unto you, exposing his love for you, and you being prostrate before him, touched to the core, broken before him, restored back to Eden, lavished that love upon, filled again with the cheer and the joy and the happiness. She went out doing the same things, but filled with God, declaring him for the lonely, to the weak, to the despicable, despised, saying, look at him, look at him, look at him, look at him. Drawing all men, dragging him, look at him, look at him. Look at him. Don't judge yourself, the knowledge, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, judging yourself. Well, I haven't prayed, and I have prayed, and I've done this, and I heard the word, I looked about it, and I did this. Bondage. You're in bondage. We've all been in bondage in one way or another. And God would have us to walk in unhindered freedom. And it's experiential, and it's real. Almost done. John chapter 14, verse 8. After 3.5 years of God moving again, he gave up. We might as well go home. I mean, if God gave up, we might as well go home. Because if he gave up, all we do is gonna do a bit of good. You know that? We'll fast 39 straight nights. I said, I gave up. Did you hear me the first day? I gave up. You know. What are you gonna pray for? Mercy. Don't give up. You're not going to look at yourself and say, I'll pray some more. You're going to say, I mean, if you really said it, then don't give up. Change your mind. Be different, please. Please be different. I'm glad he's the way he is. Feel that river coming in, you know, when you know the way he is. Happy is that people whose God is that kind of father. Not some of these earthly fathers, but some of us. Him. Yet in John 14, verse 8, we read, Philip saith unto him, Lord, show us the Father, and it sufficeth us. The strange thing is that he said that after verse 7, which says, if ye had known me, ye should have known my Father also. And from henceforth, that means from this moment on, Philip, Thomas, ye know him and have seen him. And then comes the question, Lord, show us the Father. Can you believe it? That's me. That's you. After all he's done, we ask him again, do you really love me? I mean, are you really like that? You know. So God gave up. No. Jesus said, if I've been so long time with you and yet thou hast not known me, Philip, I'll reveal myself again. I'll just reveal myself again. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians that we see God. We see the Father in the face of Jesus Christ. The glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. You ever think about Christ's face? The Bible says his visage was more marred than any man's. His looks, his face was more ruined, decayed, wasted, and disfigured than any man's. And God says, when God says to you this morning, when you look at that face, you are looking at me. If you want to know who the Father is this morning, you look in the face of Jesus Christ and you see Him. And that is the way He feels for you. Matthew 27:45. Almost done. You look in Christ's face, it's weeping. When I look in God's eyes toward me, they are wet with joyful tears. When I look into His face this morning, you know, I know He's after me. I know He's after me. I don't know what's coming next. I don't know what that next... coming in. But I'll tell you, I see His expectation, His anticipation, His hastening to meet me. That's what I know. He's after me. He's a miracle. Matthew 27. See, the devil is trying to make us Pharisees and legalists and walk in bondage and not see God face to face. And rest. And be made to rest there. We read in verse 45, Matthew 27. Now from the sixth hour there was darkness over all the land unto the ninth. Once again, darkness was upon the face of the deep. And Jesus Christ Himself became that without form and void. On that cross He became emptied. Ruined, wasted, desolate, disfigured. All was confusion around. Everything was in an uproar. People smote their breasts. People wagged their tongues. Really. But when you pass by the cross, you see the Father again. You see the Father again. I'm going to close this story. There was a minister of God who was used of God in many ways. He was married and he had a family. And this man did many things for God, served Christ with a great passion and great zeal. But he had a weakness, and the weakness was in his own family. It seems that in the labors for the gospel, that his wife had a certain weakness in her mentality, in her life, that Satan exploited and drove her to the brink of insanity. And the man was not aware of this. In that area of his life, he wasn't fully yielded to the Father's love for her. So that's just the truth of him. And she went insane. And it happened so quick and so suddenly that this minister knew hardly what to do. And he said, as they closed the door behind her in that hospital, and that door clanged shut, everything hit me. Everything hit me. And in a moment of time, I saw what I'd done. I saw that I failed. I didn't meet her needs. I didn't understand. And now this. He looked up to God and he said, "Why, God? I've served you. I've labored. Why did it happen? Why didn't you warn me?" But he had. But in a moment of time, confusion and uproar and unrest, and he was resentful. He was hurt. He knew not how long she'd be there. It's a true story. He didn't know how long she'd be there. And he had to go home and tell the kids, "Mommy's in the hospital for a few days." Face to face with the truth of his life. Face to face with the truth of his life. The truth of himself. So on the way home, he bought a fifth of whiskey. He said, I'm through with God. I'm through with him. I've served him. I've labored for him. He's confused. He bought the fifth. Weak minister, huh? You and I. You and I. And he went home. And he hid the fifth. And he went to the children and he prayed with them. He said, Mom, be in the hospital a few days. And put him to bed. His life became without form and void. And darkness settled upon his face. Inside he felt unrest, confusion, failure. He felt empty. His purpose he knew not. He felt destroyed and ruined. All of a sudden. And he made his move to the whiskey. And then there came a knock at the door. And he turned, and he went to the door, and there was a brother there named Jack. And he looked at him, and Jack looked at him. Without a word being said, the man walked across the room and grabbed this brother and hugged him for 15 minutes and wept and wept. All over him. And the man said, I felt every bitterness, every resentment, every failure, every condemnation, every guilt leave. I felt the love of God come back into my heart. He said not a word to me. He hugged me. He hugged me and he wept and he hugged me and he wept. And he said, I felt every sorrow being transferred to him. And he said a short prayer and he walked out the door. God moved on the face of the deep. And that is the Father. That is what the Father is going to do again. This world is going to be in bitterness, resentment, failure, condemnation. Look at the sins that they're committing. Look at the revelation that's going to come to them someday of their hideousness and their wickedness. Lesbians, fornicators, adulterers, thieves and murderers, liars, blasphemers. Getting worse and worse and worse. Confused. In an uproar, unrest, agitated, no peace. But I tell you, the Father has not forgotten them. And they might reject him, but it's not his fault. A rotten snake that lies to God's people to get resentful at him. It's a snake. It's never him. The Father stands back. Don't interpret anything but by Christ and the Father's love for you on the cross. Don't allow a thought to come in. It's from the pit. And the Father walks in again the last days. That is the people of God. The people that have seen the Father and know him. The people that are filled with the love the Father had for Christ. They are going to walk out into this world and through clay pots. The Father is going to hug them. He's going to hug him one more time. He's going to get the whole world and just hug him for 15 minutes. That's what he's going to do. That's what he's going to do. And they're going to break. And those that will know him. And those that won't will pass on. Past the cross. Into the night. So this morning, with great joy, great hope, I want to declare him to you. That you might see him once and for all. That you might see the only true God and Jesus Christ whom he hath sent. That you might realize that even now, there's someone knocking at your door. There's someone knocking at your door. And if you but open it up this morning, bring your resentment, your sin, your weakness, your failure. Yes, we must repent. But let him hug you. Let him hug you in Christ. And you walk with God from that point. You start with God back again in Eden. You start with God back again in voluptuousness. The Lamb being your defense. The Lamb being the knowledge of the Father. The Lamb being the sky above that declares the glory of God. And you walk in the knowledge of that Lamb, and that will cause you to live the life that God would have you to live. That would cause you to live the life God would have you to live. So if you haven't lived that life this morning, it's because you need to be loved by the Father. You need to let the Father reveal Himself unto you. And there's a knock. The presence of God is at the door of your heart and wants to step in and hug you and show Himself to be the Father brooding and hovering over you, cherishing you, intensely longing to bring you back. So come unto Him.